TMI.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Mark Gillick like, always used to call it at work.
Did he?
Yeah. That's about
right. Yeah.
I forgot to bring it up. I was going to mention in the Corning Community Food Pantry, we have had the slowest 6 months. Well, since we backed open 4 months, I guess. Slowest. I mean, I was there last Thursday, and I think we had 3 families. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, everyone says, well, it's because of the $600. But if you don't have any income, you've got all this food that's available, all this wonderful meat and everything else. Nobody's coming.
It seems like, at least to me, the food bank has been doing more fake distributions.
Yeah.
The Southern Tier Food
still
Bank.
Come.
They could, yeah. I just think people are getting there because they get a lot of food stuff.
Yeah. But they don't get meat. They get the cans and all that. This is meat and beautiful stuff.
Okay, I'll stop by.
Yeah, really? Well, we don't turn anybody away.
Okay. So I'd like to call the Agriculture, Industry, and Planning Committee to order for August. Can I please have Stan for the Pledge of Allegiance? And Mike, would you lead us?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First order is approval minutes from the July 1st committee meeting.
Motion. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Departmental request, planning department. Amy, you're up.
Yes, you should have gotten a copy of the resolution accepting the 5311 funding. We received our award letter for Mobility Management Services Program for 2019 and 2020.
Motion. I'll second.
So we're getting it now for 2019 mm-hmm. and 2020 mm-hmm. together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Is that normal?
It's even quicker than it is sometimes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, your answer was?
That's a little quicker than it sometimes is.
Quicker than normal.
It's a lag, and that's why we did advance some funds to their program to keep them afloat. So,
okay. Any other questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
The second item is just approving a contract with the Institute for Human Services for those funds.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. That was very nice, Amy. Thank you.
I try to be efficient. Good fight.
I'm making up for time long. Before I get to you, Jack, Tess, you have anything to report, or are you just observing?
I'm observing. I come closer, but I don't want you to have to wipe off my seat again. things are going pretty well. Agriculture related, even though it's been a long way dry, spring is in a drought right now. And we still have sanitizer and masks, and now we have container gardening.
I saw that advertised in your newsletter. Can anybody get one of those kits, or is there an income level?
The container gardening kits are for everybody. We got a grant from the United States Agriculture and Markets very last minute, which is why we're giving out herbs and lettuce, because it's pretty much the only thing you're going to grow right now, slowly in the season, but they can be brought inside.
How about the fair?
So the fair is going to be a drive-through. 4-H is still participating. We do have some unhappy 4-H parents because we're not doing premiums this year. We usually get about 6,000 from the United States to give out premiums. And what that means is if you get like a first or a second place ribbon, you can get money at our achievement at night in October. And so the kids were pretty upset about that, but we couldn't do it. You know, we just weren't given the funding from the state and just don't know what's going on. So, but a lot of families are still participating. I'm very excited. I'm going to judge the baking, so.
I would have done that.
I would have volunteered.
But so kids are still participating, and we do have some 4-H clubs that are meeting. We're meeting outside at people's houses like they normally are. And we still are doing some 4-H activities like clinics and things like that, but it has been tough on the kids.
How about the livestock auction?
Are you doing that? It's still happening. It's going to happen on Saturday at 6.
That's permitted in the central guidelines.
Yeah, oh, that's
people
great.
Will be staying overnight at the fair on Friday.
All right, so a bit of normalcy.
Yeah, a bit.
Okay, Jack?
Nothing from me.
All right, under other business, we have a discussion amongst ourselves. This is an issue that's come up for Aaron Mullen brought it to the forefront with the animal abuse. If we're going to fashion anything for accommodating care of animals during pending cases. And so we're putting it under an SPCA discussion.
Yeah, and Aaron had, and Public Safety had a good discussion the other day. So we
I think the committee who wasn't attending the other one needs an update on what was discussed during Public Safety. It was informational.
Sure. So I had talked some more with Brooks Baker about, because it's really, it's the district attorney who has to do it. It's not the county's, it's not the county attorney or anybody else who can do it. So about whether he could establish a policy for petitioning the court to allow or to require the owner of the animal to post a bond for its care, or any alternative if that person doesn't, to allow the county to sell the animal and hold the proceeds pending the outcome of the case, basically. And so he's working on that. He has said that he will do it. That it'll be a no-brainer when there's multiple large cattle involved that are high cost. And then he wants us to get him a little more information on some of our costs so that he has a good idea of what the, where his sort of threshold should be and when he should bring a case. And talked about, we also talked about on the care end of, and this was something that Jennifer had given us an idea on, of basically, I think some other people had brought it up as well, but sending out an RFP for services for people to care for farm animals at a rate that may be more efficient than what the SPCA does. And so we kind of discussed that, you know, there may not be a lot of farmers or people who would give these animals the care that they need during this time who would be likely to put in an RFP. And so that would probably require some legwork on our. And Jennifer also talked about farm sanctuary out towards Watkins Road, and some different options or different people who may be interested. That they were an entity that may be able to do something like that. What else am I missing that we talked about?
I think that covers it. We have a little, like you said, a little legwork to do on the RFP side, get you information, review of the SPCA contract. And we sent those cost to Brooks, so he has those.
And forwarded everything to Andy Morse so that he's in the loop. I see he's on the call, so that he got a good overview. So that will be probably next, is trying to come up with an RFP.
Chairman Bennett had a good suggestion too of maybe breaking out the RFP between large animals versus small animals, because it's totally different.
Small animals to me is more of a question because of the SPCA contract.
I mean, because one is ag markets and one isn't.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, small animals are going to be town dog control officers who are going to deal with it through their contracts. Cats are a feral issue, and then ag markets is the larger animals.
Yeah, the larger ones are more straightforward and honestly the more costly than the cats.
So the proposal with, or the request with the DA was for the large animals or for everything?
I did think that in the law that allows that there's something, I have to go back and look at it, but I thought there was something in there for pets, but that wasn't our primary discussion at all. We were mostly talking about the large animals.
That's where the dollars rack up quick.
Yeah. So I think that's the primary issue, but you know, it also is a good question. You see some of these news articles where there's, and I think the sheriff just talked about a place that he went where there were a lot of smaller animals, but I don't know what the
62 animals or something.
Yeah.
And that could add up real quick.
Yeah.
And that's the reason for the discussion, because you never know when those are going to pop up and they could really devastate our budget. Or not devastate, but
the SPCA, what'll happen is it costs them a lot, which they'll bring come back to us.
Right. Clarify for me, Jen, the one that came up during the public safety committee. You're talking about animalers, we have to post a bond for the animals care for 30 to 45 days after the arrest. That's already in Ag and Markets law?
Yeah, there's a process. So it's not automatically done. So the SPCA, the DA, can, in the middle of the criminal proceeding, bring this action.
For posting bond.
Right. So it's separate under the civil. So it's not automatically done or rarely done. It's odd because you would think it would be in the criminal law because you're talking criminal charges, and it's not. It's elsewhere.
Right.
So somebody has to start the ball moving in that situation. Otherwise, it never gets raised.
Right. And in this case, I think it has to be the DA, right?
Right. And the SPCA can do it as well, but that would be a situation, I think, where there's not a criminal charge or not. It's not pending yet. Because I think it happens at the charge or indictment. There's a trigger that after that you can bring this Ag and Markets action.
Right. Okay. So everybody brought up to speed. Any other questions about the issue? At some point, we're going to be, considering some actual procedure and policy on this.
Probably. Yeah. Probably your action would be the RFP or whatever, right. Whatever it is. I mean, like Aaron said, the process is going to be Brooks' process, but you folks are going to be involved in authorizing the RFP side so we can access that.
Mm-hmm. I think that just where we're at now is already in a better spot because he's aware of that and is willing to use it in the big cases right now. And we don't even need the RFP or anything for him to do that. He can, we, had 100 horses that we had to take or care for, he would be able to bring that petition tomorrow. And that would be one of those no-brainer costs. He said that one of the primary costs that he has and why he was wondering about where the appropriate, financial threshold would be is that he has to bring in vets and different experts to say that the animals are abused or whatever. And so there's a hearing that he has to have to establish that basically he has a right to require a bond. And that's where the cost comes into the county. Plus just his time. I mean, it's not, if it's $500, it's not really worth all those, all of his research is working on it. So.
Okay. Any other business? No? Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.
So, Tess, if you need people, Scott volunteered for the taste test, and you can always let me know too.